No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host, Maria Sanchez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the conversation by calling in at 888-628-6008, or you can Skype your questions to BBSRADIO and the number 1. Tonight, we have a very special guest, Karen Cataline, she's the host of Spouting Off. She's an author. She's a speaker. I hope I didn't mangle your name, Karen. We're glad to have you on the show. Pronounce it for us so we, Doug and I, can get it right.
It's okay. It's Cataline.
Cataline.
It rhymes with spleen.
Oh.
So Cataline.
Okay. Well, and the Catalina Islands.
Exactly. Nice. Take the A off and you got it.
Right. All right. Cataline, well, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Maria. And, thank you, Senator.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you here. And I want this to be a happy show, and I don't want to start out on a sour note, but I think we have to mention
what
happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas, where 25 are dead and many more wounded. And we don't know the details yet, but our hearts go out to the people of Texas.
Without a doubt.
We agree.
Who were in church, you know, when some crazy guy came in and started shooting. So we'll have more on that. Hopefully the details will develop shortly. But we have Karen with us. And Karen is the host of a show called Spouting Off. I just love the title of the show. And so she's here to spout off.
Karen, what's the genesis for your program?
Yeah.
Well, I've been in love with talk radio since I was about 14. And I've done it on and off. I have kind of a spotty background. I was a professional actress and singer. Then I went to Columbia School of Social Work, which the senator and I laughed about because I am not a liberal. And I think I always had a love affair with politics. So I do fill in talk radio all around town, wherever I can, whenever I'm asked. And I was delighted to find BBS Radio and started my show Spouting Off about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And I am having a blast. It is so much fun. But it's even more fun to have a dialogue than a monologue. It's very hard. As opinionated as I am about just about everything, it's a lot harder. And you have to really train yourself. You know this, right? To give a monologue for an hour or however long.
Right.
It's so much more fun when there's callers and guests and people to argue with, like you, Senator.
Well, you know, that's why I have Maria, right? Because I was falling asleep listening to myself. So
there, Karen, what Michael and I have always said is we agree on, I think, more than we disagree on. It's interesting. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's a very liberal Democrat and a gay man, too, this afternoon. And finally, I said, we really don't disagree on much, more just the fiscal part of it. And that's more about the cycle of dependence instead of getting people to be independent. And he was like, wow, I didn't even realize that. So, you know, the D or the R, I don't really say define somebody. It's really more your personal philosophy about how you fall under that tent.
Well, I think that's well said, except that we are living in an extremely divided country right now because everybody listens and watches news that kind of validates their own opinion.
Exactly.
Oftentimes. And there is a lot of division in the country.
You now have the internet. So regardless of what opinion you have, as crazy as it may be, or as sound as it may be, you can always find somebody out there that agrees with you.
That's America. There's nothing wrong with that. What concerns me, as long as I can like jump right into something, you know, an issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
What concerns me is that the same, a lot of things concern me, but the same left of the 60s, and I was kind of an early, you know, the tail end of the baby boom. But the same left that used to talk so much about free speech and if it feels good, do it, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and, you know, we don't like all these regulations and authoritarianism, has become the authoritarian today. They are the ones that are talking about hate speech and punishing people for what they say and what they think. And it concerns me greatly, the authoritarianism of the left.
Well, I don't know where you get that from, because I got to be honest with you, even though I'd be the first hippie to admit that we copped out quite a bit on our, you know, on those values that we had in the 1960s, I really don't see the liberals doing that. I see that as a conservative thing where people are out there not only generating the hate speech. I mean, you got a guy in the White House who fights like a third grader. You know, if somebody says anything about him, he goes crazy. You know, the conservatives are not only generating the hate speech, but they're the ones out there, as far as I see, that are trying to sequester people on the left.
What do you think of Berkeley, the home of what was supposed to be free speech, and yet mm-hmm. if there are conservative speakers that come to town, there's all hell breaks loose. There's rioting in the streets. You have Antifa, which, by the way, last night was a total bust. And yet, under the guise of being anti-fascist, they employ fascist tactics. I mean, what exactly is hate speech? If you're not, other than inciting violence, which the left does regularly, it is not against the law to express an opinion that you disagree with.
No,
and Berkeley,
I agree with
and
that.
All the rest of it, there are more intolerant people on the left telling you that you're not allowed to express an opinion they disapprove of than anything I've seen on the right.
Well,
at
wait
all.
A second. What? How do you see intolerance on the left? How are we on the left shutting down free speech? I don't see that. I mean, when
well,
I
well,
handful,
if you're not allowing well, it, is well, the, I think Karen's
well,
point.
Well, a handful of academics who may, or administrators who may be running things, who look at Charleston, who see this hate speech. I mean, you know, we've got the first president of the United States that's been
Charleston, endorsed. You mean Charlotte?
I'm sorry, Charlottesville.
Okay, I just want to make sure I knew what you were talking
right,
about.
Right, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Charlottesville.
Well, Charlottesville.
We have the first president of the United States that's been endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan.
Wait a minute,
that's
Senator.
Not his fault.
Hold on a second.
No, it's since not his when, fault, but it
wait,
still was
since,
done.
Since when is it his responsibility who supports and endorses him? Obama was supported and endorsed by terrorists in the Middle East.
Wait,
and everyone said,
it.
Hold on, let me just finish. Everyone said that it was guilt by association, the Reverend Wright thing. And there is such a double standard on the left as to what, when they decide to be offended and when they don't.
Well,
I mean,
you know what, when it comes to double standards.
Smearing the President Trump is wholly and 100% false. And I defy you to tell me how and where and in what way he is any sort of a racist or a bigot. And yet the left has done an enormous job trying to convince people who are a little bit naive that he is. It's
well,
nonsense.
Wait a second. Well, first of all, let's start with Reverend Wright. The people on the right, accused him of Obama of being connected with this Christian minister who was a left-wing nut, and then they turned around when that didn't... Wait a second.
He sat in his church for 20 years.
Wait a second. When that didn't pan out...
Married him.
Just let me finish. When that didn't pan out, they accused him of being a Muslim. So how can he be a Muslim and a Christian simultaneously? That's the hate speech.
Well, guess what? Reverend Wright used to be a Muslim. Did you know that?
Wait a second.
And he was elevating Louis Farrakhan a lot.
That's the hate speech that comes out of the right. And the fact that the president was endorsed. Let me answer your second question. The fact that the president was endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan doesn't say anything about his responsibility, but it does say that they didn't endorse Bush, they didn't endorse Reagan, they didn't endorse Nixon. There's a reason they endorsed him.
So you're smearing Donald Trump for reasons that are innuendo, and yet
innuendo. He was sued.
And yet Obama
he was sued in federal
Obama
court.
Was supported by all the terrorists, including, if I remember correctly at the time, the Iranian dictator who wanted Obama to win.
That's a ridiculous assertion.
Nobody held
Obama was Obama. The guy that got Osama bin Laden. It wasn't a Republican. It was Obama that got Osama bin Laden.
While he was making deals with Iran to help them get nuclear weapons.
No. While he was trying to contain the Iranians.
Absolutely
the president who said this was a bad deal has now backed off. He's backed off.
He will get rid of it. It was the worst deal known to man.
You're also just showing how differences of opinion are acrimonious and how it's divisive instead of how we can agree to disagree and then what can we agree on. Because, Michael, you've even mentioned
that's the most important thing.
You're tired of your party saying that all they stand for is resistance.
Right.
And I'm tired of hearing the right-wing Republican suggest that they represent what a Republican is, because I don't agree with them at all.
What don't you agree with about the Republicans? I'm interested.
The birthers
because there are things I
and
don't.
The right-to-lifers and the anti-homosexuality and the right
wait,
to marry
wait.
Whom you
How
choose.
How do you feel about the baker, the Masterpiece cake shop? How do you feel about that case? Do you know about it? It's going to the Supreme
Court. Yeah, I know about it. And know what?
The clerk who wasn't issuing the licenses?
No. This is
the baker
Jack
for the wedding.
Want to make the cake. Yeah.
His name is Jack Phillips. He's in Littleton somewhere in Colorado. And this case has been going on for 5 years. It's going to the Supreme Court. Are you familiar, either one of you, with that case?
Yes, I'm familiar.
What do you
with
think
that.
About it?
What does that have to do with the right-wing party? Part of the party.
Well, because it is perfectly
it's like a
okay.
pharmacist not giving out birth control. That's
no,
not
it
okay.
Isn't. No, it
yeah,
isn't.
It's
the same.
Not
absolutely
okay.
not.
Yeah, she's
Wait,
absolutely
do you, are you familiar
right.
with it? So you're saying that
he didn't want to bake a cake for a gay couple. In
no,
general, you
it.
Should be.
That's
what
not
was
the
it?
Case. Well, see,
what
this is
the
problem:
case?
Is people look at headlines, but they don't know the case. All right, Jack Phillips is a devout Christian. I don't happen to be, by the way. I happen to be Jewish, but that's neither here nor there. Jack Phillips, number one, there was a gay couple that it wasn't even legal. Gay marriage wasn't even legal in Colorado when two gay guys who'd already been married in another state walked into his shop, shopped his shop. They knew he was Christian, and they asked him to bake a custom wedding cake for their celebration ceremony. Jack Phillips said, I will sell you any baked goods on the shelf, okay? Cakes, cookies, ready-to-eat cakes, anything you want, but I don't bake custom wedding cakes for gay marriages. He also doesn't bake Halloween cakes. The cake is his art, all right? He does two jobs, two different things. He does custom wedding cakes, and he does... off-the-shelf baked goods. And those gay guys, within the span of 60 seconds, said F you, walked out, and went to get a very friendly judge who not only tried to put him out of business, it was atrocious what they did to this man.
Well, wait
simply
a second.
Because he said he would not bake a cake for a gay wedding. Do you believe the government has a right to force people to bake cakes?
No,
not
I think
bake cakes, but
no, but I don't
cakes.
Think. But
they
I
have a right to force non-discrimination.
Right.
That's discrimination.
And he has a right. The gay couple has a right to take this to court. It hasn't been decided. I understand that. But it hasn't been decided. The government hasn't intervened.
Yeah, what's your opinion, Senator? Do you
My opinion is that if you give access to the general public, that you can't deny people on the basis of race, sex, or sexual orientation. That's
okay.
The law of the land. Wait
All
a
right,
second.
Let me ask you a question.
I used to work in a gas station. I pumped gas when I was a kid. Okay. And we were given, the police came in and ticketed people that worked at our gas station because they were screwing around in the parking lot. And we said, it's private property. You can't do that. And the police said, anything that's open to the public is considered public access.
All right. But you're, I would like you to understand something. When Trump got elected, a whole bunch of designers said they would not design any clothing for Melania Trump because they so much disagreed with his policies. Not one leftist said that was unfair and they should take him to court. What we're talking about here is an artist's right for self-expression. The gay couple were not prevented from exactly the same stuff off the shelf as any other person.
They were prevented from a custom cake as any other heterosexual couple wouldn't be.
Right.
And so are you saying that a person who wants a Halloween cake and Jack Phillips will not design a custom Halloween cake, that Jack Phillips should be forced by the government to create a custom Halloween cake? This is insanity.
You know what?
This is insanity. Did you know that someone went in?
Wait a second.
Someone went in, an atheist, and said, you need to bake me a devil's cake. And he said, no.
Look, you need to let me answer the question. And this is the answer to that question. This is what hate speech is about. Nobody has decided this case. All the gay people are doing is exercising their right to litigate.
They have a right to litigate all they want. I'm asking you your opinion.
Supreme Court,
what's hate speech?
Has not decided.
What is hate speech, Senator? What do you think it is?
It's you saying that the government is intervening. The government is not intervening.
These guys are exercising their right to litigate. You're telling me that I am speaking hate speech because what? Because I disagree.
No, I'm saying that hate speech is based on false assumptions that are put out there as fact. It's not a fact that the government is intervening. The government hasn't intervened yet.
We're discussing this. This is opinion, Senator.
Well, I get that.
But you're saying
the government intervened. And they haven't intervened.
You misinterpreted what I said. I said that the case is being adjudicated on the principles of whether the government has a right to force an individual to create
something to discriminate.
No, it is not
to not discriminate. That's what they have the right to do.
Should the government force me to do a Nazi play or even a Muslim terrorist play? This is insane. It's creative.
Let's talk about the Hobby Lobby, the Holly Lobby.
Well, before you change the subject,
it's been decided in the favor of them being able to do what they want. But
the circumstances of that case are different.
So this is a question that's out there and hasn't been decided yet. My opinion,
that, but you are not We're talking about what is your opinion. That's what talk radio is. It is a given that I'm expressing an opinion.
And I tell you what my opinion is.
Aaron, with all due respect, I've been in talk radio for 25 years. I know what talk radio is about. Right. Michael's been in the public arena for decades as well. I think you're speaking down to us, and I find that particularly resentful.
Yeah, look.
You are resentful. Okay, well, let's take it down a notch.
All right.
I just find it so amazing that people, you know, there was a guy who went into Dearborn, Michigan, into a lot of Muslim bakeries, 20 of them. And he asked them, would they bake a custom wedding cake for a gay wedding? Every single one of them said no. And not one person on the left is prepared to force a Muslim baker to create a custom wedding cake for a gay couple. Only Christians.
Well, this is what we're talking about, okay? Because nobody on the left is forcing the guy who won't bake the cake for the gay couple to bake a cake either, okay?
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
The reason that this case made it to the Supreme Court and why it's such a hot and important First Amendment issue is because the case was decided against him in lower courts. These were executive law judges. They were appointed judges who wanted to find in favor of the gay couple. And so this has...
Well, that's an assumption you're making.
No, that's a fact.
Wait a second. That's not a fact.
That's a fact. Yeah, they did find...
You don't know that
they
didn't
find him. Do you know? No, they find him. They find him. Yes, they did. I know the case.
So wait. So they find him. Why isn't that consistent with the law? Why weren't they reading the law? Why is it your assumption that they wanted to promote gay rights? Maybe they were just making a decision that was consistent with the with the law.
Well, that's why we have a Supreme Court, so that a higher court will decide it.
Right. The other thing is that he didn't advertise himself as a Christian baker. The Muslim bakeries do. So if this homosexual, you just said Muslim bakeries. How do we know that they're Muslim unless they advertise themselves as such?
Because in Dearborn, Michigan, when you go through and you see Arabic on the sign, you pretty much assume that they're Muslims.
So if he had crosses on his window, you might assume that too.
No.
Or a fish.
But we're not talking about the issue at hand, which is the issue of whether the government has a right to force someone to create something custom, to use their art and their creative talent.
I have answered that, Karen. The government has the right to enforce discrimination
law.
And non-discrimination. That's and what's being talked about here.
Well,
It's about discriminating.
Right. It's not about what?
It's not about a cake. It's about discriminating.
It's not discriminating. It's discriminating against the baker. It's discriminating.
Well,
the baker forced him. All right, so we disagree.
So
I think it's incomprehensible. All right, ask me a question, if you
know. No, you and I talked yesterday, and you said you were going to ask me your worst question. I was going to ask you my worst question. So, you're my guest. You go first.
Okay.
Ask your question.
All right. All right, we're getting a little bit passionate here, and I appreciate that. What do you think about Donna Brazile's book, who now admits that giving Hillary the answers to the questions, she happened to give Hillary the answers to the questions in the debate against Bernie Sanders, but her book now says that Hillary was running the DNC, therefore cheated Bernie Sanders in the primary. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I think it's true. And I think that's the way it unfortunately works in politics. She did have control of the DNC. I'm a former DNC staffer and a longtime DNC staffer. I was not only on staff for 4 years, I was their consultant for 21 years. And that's what happens. These guys come in and take it over, the presidential campaigns. And yes, I think that they did push Bernie. Bernie out. But I think that happens on both sides when you have an incumbent or you have somebody that's more powerful. And look, I think this
moral relativism is not fair. There's no evidence the Republicans did anything like that.
Richard Nixon. Let me just say it, okay?
Right now, is there any evidence that there was an unfair primary in 2016? Is there?
No, I don't know that there's I would say that I don't know of any evidence, but.
And we're talking about a year before Hillary even announced for president, she was controlling the DNC.
Of course she was controlling the DNC because she put her people in place. Now, do you think they went broke? But you think that if you think that's unfair, I agree with you. I think it is unfair. And I think the Democrats are paying a serious price for this because they allowed to get elected a man who has the lowest popularity rating in modern history because they did it. Because they we'll never know if Bernie Sanders could have beat Donald Trump. We won't know if Bernie Sanders could have beaten Donald Trump.
Or could have beaten Hillary without her meddling.
Well, yeah, but we do know that Hillary couldn't beat him. So
she can hardly beat him without cheating. That's right.
And I think Donna is trying to save what little career she has left. What she did was wrong. They kicked her ass out for it, which they should have. But yes, Hillary played the inside game. That's absolutely true. I'm a Hillary Clinton superdelegate. I know exactly how the game is played. And yes, she did. Now I get to ask you my most horrible question.
Please.
How can you, as a woman, support and have voted for a guy who has admitted that he has engaged in sexual assault?
I don't think that's what he admitted, number one.
He admitted he grabbed women by the vagina.
Well, let's answer the question accurately. What he admitted to and what we decide or believe are two different things. What he admitted to is, quote, locker room talk. Now, one of the things
he used the P word.
He was talking to the press. He wasn't in a locker room.
He didn't do anything. He never admitted to doing anything. Let me answer your question. The idea that what is going on in Hollywood right now, and Hollywood is disintegrating, as is the left, that actual rape, assault, these horrible activities is the same as talking is I find incomprehensible that people don't know the difference between thinking, words, and actions. Now,
From a woman who voted for Trump, I have to say that I don't approve of that behavior, but I also don't think that it's a deal breaker. I don't expect you to be a saint if you're my elected official, and including you, Senator Michael Brown. But I also don't expect people to be immoral and unethical. And when he said grabbing pussy, which is we can talk about that since we're on internet radio, I believe that he probably did. But guess what? Does that mean that he's a bad leader? Does that mean that he's a bad decision maker? Does that mean he's a bad businessman? No. Did he behave abhorrently? Yes. So I did hashtag Me Too because it's happened to me too. But that doesn't mean that I expect people to be perfect. If we expect perfection out of everybody, that's why we don't get people to come out like a Colin Powell, for example, or a Condoleezza Rice, because they have things in their closet and they don't want people to know about it. That's where I think we go wrong. We expect people to be saintly. We're humans. We are by definition flawed human beings. So why would we expect somebody to be holier than thou?
I don't, but let me say about
you're doing great, Marie. I don't really have to say anything.
I you know what? Let me just say about Karen's answers that you use terminology like LA is disintegrating. You know what?
Hollywood.
10 people came out against the president and said that they were sexually assaulted by Donald Trump. Okay.
So that hasn't been adjudicated. He just talked about it. It hasn't been proven at all.
But you know what? Neither has any of the allegations in Hollywood. So why is Hollywood disintegrating? Because that's
I'll tell you why.
People on the right talk. They say any accusation made against a liberal is the truth, and any accusation made about a conservative needs to be proved.
Well,
and that's wrong.
I think it is true on both sides that there's a lot of demonizing going on.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know that I want to, I mean, I really would like to change the subject into something else. However, yeah. I should answer as best I can. I mean, I think I could go on and on about and analyze the whole thing about as a woman. But that leads me to something, because we're talking about both sides do a lot of demonizing. And as we already mentioned, it's a very, very divisive political environment out there. One of the things that just drives me crazy today is this obsession with you can call it identity politics, but this broad overgeneralization of what racist, bigot, homophobe, xenophobe is. And it seems to me that today the left's whole ideology is nothing more than trying to decide who's the greater victim and who needs to be labeled. There isn't a Republican candidate for president that hasn't been labeled racist. You can say what you will about Trump, and there's a question coming, but he was in the public eye for 4 decades and friends with most of these liberals now who hate his guts and want to take pictures of him with his severed head on the cover of magazines. And now he is the biggest, ugliest bigot, Aryan Brotherhood, KKK you've ever seen. For people to buy that kind of demagoguery is nonsense. My question is, are you tired and critical of this overgeneralization of what is racist, bigoted, homophobe, xenophobe, when we're just disagreeing? And it's a tactic that is used to shut people down and demonize them so nobody will listen to what they have to say.
Well, and that really is the crux of what I want to talk about today, because I am tired of it, and it does go on both sides. It goes on both sides. And what happens is we label people and then we shut down. We label you a conservative, and that means you're a racist and a bigot. We label you a liberal, and that means you don't stand up for the Constitution and you don't love America and you don't believe in God. Where the hell did that come from? I'm a Christian youth group leader in my church, but there's all these guys that stand up on the right and say that I don't believe in God or I'm not a good Christian because I'm a liberal. So it because goes on both sides.
I don't think that.
Well, you might not think that, but they say it all the time, you know?
Because they're ignorant. And it grabs headlines.
And we need to come together. Look, I love the fact that you're willing to stand here and tell us what's wrong with the liberals. But let me tell you something. When you've got people out there campaigning, most of the major Republican candidates talking about immigration and lead people to believe that there's people sneaking into from Mexico, taking their jobs in Detroit, when the truth of the matter is the people in Detroit said we can make the cars cheaper in Mexico and they sent the jobs to Mexico. How is that not demagoguery? It's going on both sides, and
conservatives, and I'm not even a Republican, but conservatives don't run around calling people racist, bigot, homophobe. And immigration is something I would love to talk about. It's not racist to believe in secure borders.
It's not
racist to want immigration laws enforced. It's not racist to want Islamic terrorists and killing of innocent people to stop, and for countries to have the right to enforce their own borders. That's not racist or xenophobe. And yet that's the point to which we've come. Today.
No, it isn't, because when you're not doing a terrorist band, you're doing a Muslim terrorist band.
No, that's
so
not
that
true.
Is racist.
And that is demagoguery, because that's not, he took the same countries that Obama took. Six countries. The ban.
There were more than if, six if countries.
There were, but if there were a
you
ban
know the
on Baker's every
case,
Muslim
you
country,
this case.
You could be right. But it wasn't a ban on every Muslim country. There's a whole bunch of Muslim
said
countries.
It was about a ban on every Muslim country.
Pardon me?
Nobody said it was a ban on every Muslim country.
Everybody called it racist and bigoted. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I got to shut my phone off. I forgot. To but anyway,
I thought you were going to say I've got to take this.
It's Trump. It's President Trump on the other line.
That's exactly.
Wait a second. He agrees with me.
It's Hillary. She's on the other line.
It's Hillary. She wants her 15 seconds on the air. But you know
so where emails are.
She says I would ask her that, but she says ask Trump, he'll tweet about it.
Why she sold 20% of our uranium to the Russians and then accused Trump of polluting Russians?
Trump may have sold 60% of our uranium to the Russians. Nobody knows because he won't release his tax returns.
What is selling?
Don't know. We don't know his. Wait a second.
He wasn't Secretary of State.
No, we don't know his involvement with the Russians, do we?
We do know, Senator. What we know is that Donald Trump was a private citizen and Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and she took an oath of office. She was engaging in
sell us out.
$145 million, dear. $145 million.
Look, first of all, Karen, I'm a United States Senator. Don't talk down to me. Don't call me dear, okay? I won't call you dear, and you don't call me dear. But the point of the matter is that she made a transaction that was out in the open. She didn't collude with anybody to do this. And because
out in the open? Is that why she bleeped 33,000 of her emails? Because it was out in the open?
Wait, look. The deal was out in the open. The emails are another question. But when you want to talk about people covering things up, we're about to find out about the president's connection to the Russians. We've already had his campaign manager indicted and brought up.
Yeah, guess who Manafort was working for before he worked for Clinton? John Podesta.
So
how about that? So what? Because
John
Podesta just had to step down from his own business because he's implicated. Talk about chutzpah. Does everybody know what chutzpah is?
Yes,
chutzpah is the gall to accuse for 9 months Donald Trump of colluding with Russians while the Democrats and the Clintons and the Obamas were neck deep in colluding with Russians.
No, they weren't. And you have no evidence of that. And
there
if there's evidence, it should be brought forth.
There is tons of evidence.
Because you know what? Paul Manafort, who was colluding with the Russians while he was working for Donald Trump, is
ended up in court.
And Obama didn't end up in court, and neither did Hillary Clinton. So if there's proof out there,
Didn't indict her, so therefore she must be innocent? Is that what you're saying?
That's the way America works. If the you must acquit, okay?
Really?
That's the law that we live under.
Me to believe that the argument that you're making here is that because the corrupt FBI, like James Comey, when he came out,
isn't
right
that
the
easy
election,
to say that everybody's corrupt?
Me.
Everybody's corrupt. So
the FBI is incredibly corrupt. You mean to tell me you don't think Comey is corrupt? Right before the election, the Democrats were ready to lynch the guy.
I would like to ask how this is productive. How is this fruitful?
Well, you're absolutely right, Maria. Let's
move
on.
You guys are squabbling like little children. This isn't adult. It's very unbecoming. That's the reason I don't do it or engage in it. And Michael, you know, and I disagree. We've never once had a conversation like this.
Well, I know. It's just
very unseemly.
Well, okay.
It bothers me to put
I'll tell you what's unseemly.
Out there. Wait a
what's
second.
Unseemly?
Hold on a second.
What's unseemly is that you won't stop and listen.
Right. Karen, listen. Okay. What Maria is saying is absolutely true. It's just hard for me to sit here and listen to you put out things that are speculative on your part as facts. The FBI is corrupt. If you have some fact that it's corrupt, then prove that it's corrupt. Don't just say that. And that's the problem.
Don't just say that Trump is colluding with the Russians. There's been no evidence of that. None. Not
that. I'm saying that Manafort was colluding with the Russians, and that's why he's up on charges. That's what I'm saying.
Manafort was fired by Trump. Maria, what do you think is productive? We didn't do this show so that we could all link arms and sing Kumbaya. We're having a debate. Is there a question you'd like to ask me that you think would be more productive? I would be happy to answer.
You suggested or expressed surprise that I don't identify with the fringe on the far right in the Republican Party, and you asked me why. It sounds to me like you might agree with some of their stands. If
why don't you ask me
understand.
A question? Instead of assuming what I agree with.
Karen, I don't like your attitude at all. I wouldn't have you as a friend, and I don't want you as a colleague. You are condescending, and you are very judgmental, and I hope it serves you well in your career, but it's nothing that I want to participate in. And Michael, this is one of the reasons that I don't do this. I don't want to be a party to this.
Ask me a question.
Don't tell me what to do.
Well, right. I'm asking you. Ask me a
question. I really don't like this.
Fine. Okay. And don't involve yourself. This is ridiculous. This is supposed to
be. I think it's absurd. You're a guest on our program, and you're going rogue. It's not polite. It's not kind. It's not productive. It's not progressive. You're actually making conservatives look terrible because you're not listening. You're not responding. You are making gross generalizations, as the senator has suggested. I don't know how it's serving you, but it's making you look terrible.
Well, if you think I look terrible, that's your problem.
Let me ask the question, okay? This is the question. How do we get beyond the rancor? Okay, obviously, you're out there speaking to what the conservative position is on these issues, and I'm reacting like the typical liberal. How do we get beyond this? How do we have a conversation that Maria's talking about, which is actually productive, and at the end of the conversation, you don't walk away going, well, you're wrong, and I don't walk away going, she's wrong. How do we get beyond that?
Where do we find common ground? Wrong, but if you would like to, again, ask me a question or tell me what the rules were of this discussion beforehand.
Well, What's the question? The question is, how do we get beyond the rancor? How do we get beyond, I don't like President Trump and you don't like Hillary Clinton? How do we get beyond that to move the country forward? Where do we come together? There used to be a thing when I was growing up called being an American. And maybe we didn't like certain things about the other party. That goes back to the beginning of politics. But we seem to work together, even at terrible times like the 1960s, which I lived through. We tended to work together to move the country in a positive direction. So what is your opinion of how we can do that again?
Well, first of all, that is the broadest generalization I've ever heard, that we are all 320 some million people is a we. We are individuals. I don't speak for all conservatives. I am a pretty unique individual. Well, of course, but
right. So what do you think is the answer to that question?
I'm not into platitudes of saying, gee, if we would all link arms and sing Kumbaya,
that's not
everything
what we're saying.
Would be fine.
But look, this man, I think that this man in the White House is horrible. I'm not saying link arms.
Well, tell me
and
why.
Kumbaya,
why is he so horrible? Would you tell me why?
Because he's getting nothing done. Okay,
really?
Not accomplished.
Seriously?
What piece of legislation
we totally
has he passed?
Well, it's not just legislation. He is taking on a culture of he's taking on more than I've ever seen anybody take on. When you say getting stuff done,
this isn't, again, this
Washington is a cesspool. And he is fighting it. That
is
my opinion.
It's easy for you to sit in Colorado and say that Washington is a cesspool. But I'm in the middle of Washington, and I'm telling you that there are many more decent people here in Washington, D.C. that are working in the national interest than you give credit for. But that's not the point. The point is, how do we move beyond the rancor? I get it. You don't like liberals.
Well, one thing we could do
is
stop having hooded people running around causing riots in the streets, claiming that they're going to unseat Pence and Trump because they lost an election. You've got people out there. I mean,
they're the party of the Ku Klux Klan. You know,
Antifa is not
getting
the party
down
the
to her level.
Right.
Yeah, I don't
we're
get
all
it.
Going, we're going wait, wait, back wait. To this. Let's talk about how we can make this better, Karen. Not who's right and who's wrong. How do we make it together? How do we come together? If I have to come over to your side or you have to come over to my side, it's never going to happen. We've got to find some common ground.
Well, how you do it. What do we have in common? Not
right.
what do we disagree on?
See, here's the problem as I see it. I was enchanted in a lot of ways by the email that you sent about the kind of question you might ask me.
Yeah.
Right? And you talked about bipartisanship. I don't have it in front of me. But you said, you know, how can we have bipartisanship? And I wrote a few things, and you probably won't like them. You know, you won't like them, and that's all right. It's not illegal for you not to like me or what I have to say.
Thank you.
That's the problem today, is everybody thinks the Constitution guarantees their right not to be offended. It doesn't. What you want to do is be able to understand that you're tolerating ideas and thoughts you don't like is what protects your freedom to speak your mind as you see fit. So Democrats only demand here's my answer to you. Democrats only demand bipartisanship when they're out of power. They're two drastically different views of the role of government. Democrats demonize the other side for political purposes.
Okay, look, so you're saying there's no solution to this problem.
That's what you're saying.
There's no solution to this problem. Well, there's no way we can come together. And by the way, you know, I got to agree with Maria, Karen. We had a lovely conversation on the phone, and I like you, and I'm not taking this personally, but you keep on explaining it to a man that's had 4 years experience in politics and has been elected several times with hundreds of thousands of votes, how politics is supposed to work and how the Constitution works. I guarantee you that I've forgotten more about the United States Constitution than you know.
Yeah, but see, here's a difference in the way that we view politicians and government. Democrats, on the whole, and this is a generalization, they think that the people are supposed to serve the government instead of the government serving the people.
That's absolutely
And I don't
ridiculous.
Think that just because you're an elected official, and we can talk about that some other time because it's not an issue I have super strong opinion on, that I am supposed to kowtow to you
because you're not allowed to disagree. Look. Not at all. What I'm saying to you is that having a respectful conversation doesn't allow me, for example, to tell you how social work should be done since you have a master's degree from Columbia in social work. That's all I'm telling you. And this is what
you mean
saying
I should
to
tell
us.
But see, you're supposed to be a servant of the people. I wasn't lecturing you about how things are supposed to happen.
Yes, you said.
I will tell you that this is what politics is. When these discussions happen, I'll tell you what. I have lost friends over politics because they were liberal and because they X'd me out of their lives. I have never X'd somebody out of my life because they disagreed with me politically. But I find that in general, the left is trying to shut down disagreement and dissent by claiming that anything they don't like is hate speech and racist. And
look,
it is
look,
talk
look,
about
look.
you
Again,
know
Well, I don't want to get back into this, but we're not the people that came up with the with acronyms like or descriptions like fake news. Fake news is not something. It's not liberals that came up with it.
I'm sorry, Senator, but you were.
And ironically, one of my best friends is our Democrat assembly member in Sacramento. And another one is a campaign manager for the Democrats, both statewide and nationally. So I get along just fine with Democrats, and they get along just fine with me.
And I've got a lot of Republican friends.
Because you never discuss anything.
I've served on the advisory council for our Democratic state senator.
I just say that the whole term of fake news was a leftist view, and Donald Trump turned the tables on him and started using it. And so they told people, don't use that anymore because Trump is using it.
It's not true. It's not true. He's the one that's going to look. He attacked the media from day one. But let's not digress here.
But you know what? Yellow journalism was around in the Pulitzer days.
Well, that's true.
There's nothing new.
It was around with Andrew Jackson. And it's true that there's fake news on each side. That's not the point. But the point is that you seem to be taking this holier-than-thou attitude about liberals.
See, to me, that is an ad hominem attack because I've expressed an opinion you don't like. You're telling me that I'm holier-than-thou, that I'm not being nice. We're having a discussion here.
I don't care if you're being nice or polite, okay? What I care about is that you're putting stuff out there. I won't even talk about the way I feel. You know, it doesn't matter the way I feel about Donald Trump, the way you feel about Hillary Clinton, the way I feel about liberal or conservatives, or the way you feel about liberal and conservatives. What matters is how do we bring people together? This discussion that we've now had for more than 50 minutes isn't doing anything to bring anybody together.
I disagree.
How so?
Because it's not about appearances. Sometimes it is a feisty discussion. I think people listening have – wait a second. Let me finish. To try and shut people down and to tell them that we all have to get along
– we don't. We have to move forward.
And to be able to have a spirited discussion like we did about the Christian Baker – and every other issue that I knew we would disagree with, I don't feel the least bit offended by you.
I'm not offended.
Or anything else. I think
the question.
There's been no resolution is the point the senator's trying to make.
Offended.
You mean to tell me that you thought that in an hour, a committed liberal and a committed conservative libertarian is going to have resolution?
Some
discussion of it. I'm not saying that you and I are going to fix the problem, but the idea of the show is to open a discussion where we can put ideas out there that people can think about. How do we come together? And that's what I want to talk about. You know, and we're talking about each side. We're taking a classic position on each side, which anybody can hear by turning on Fox one day and turning on CNN.
Hopefully we're more interesting than they are. I think one of the discussions that I'd like to see happen, and I don't know if that's a discussion Democrats want to have, is the role of government. Because that at its very, very fundamental level, is one of the biggest differences between us. I think that, you know, reasonable people want the best for this country, but they disagree not only on policy, but they disagree on the role of government. See, I believe that limited government affords the greatest freedom. More personal responsibility affords the greatest freedom and the more prosperity. Democrats seem to always want to consolidate power. It is a centralized government kind of philosophy, and never the twain shall meet, because as long as Democrats keep trying to consolidate power and control issues from a central like location like Washington, there will always be pushback. And okay. that is a healthy republic.
Well, now, let me ask you a question. Does Donald Trump represent this for you?
Represent what I just said?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. In ideology, I don't believe that Donald Trump is a very big ideologue. Okay?
Well, look, it's a simple question.
Is he on your side? Oh, heck yes. I think in practice...
Well, America disagrees with you.
Let me finish.
Because he's got the lowest popularity rating in modern times.
I'm not impressed with whether he's popular.
Look, his ideas are not popular.
That's not true. Your ideas are not popular. You are so wrong. You're out of touch. His ideas are profoundly popular. He just beat the NFL.
Why is his rating so low?
I don't care whether he's popular or not. It may not be a measure of effectiveness.
She's not
going to
listen.
He has dismantled the overregulation in this country and has done more to roll back some of these centralized big government than even a bunch of Republicans have. So while he may
he's not being effective, and America does not agree with him.
That is as arrogant a statement as I've ever heard, is that you speak for America.
The polls speak for America.
And you believe them, right?
And the polls show that he has the lowest approval rating in history.
Right.
It doesn't impress me in the least. Listen, I don't speak for the American people. The American people speak for themselves. And they've spoken in the most recent polls that show that he has the lowest.
Is that all you live by is polls? That's why Washington is out of touch with the people.
I'm not living by it. I'm just telling you that when you're out there saying this man is doing what America wants, I'm telling you that according to the polls, America doesn't agree with that. Okay? But America doesn't.
And you seem to think that America speaks with one voice. We don't. We're 320 million
and
people.
Wait a second.
In this country.
How come I'm not America, but you are? We don't.
I didn't say you weren't. You just said you don't speak for America.
Okay, look, I think the discussion has been ended.
What song are we going out with?
Lawyers, Guns, and Money, dedicated to the President of the United States. Thanks for being on the show, Karen. We'll talk to you soon. I want to be on your show.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
The way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians too.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.